Welcome to A Moment for Moms, your guide to raising mentally and financially fit professional athletes with Wendy Sparks and Danielle LaForce. This is the podcast where we celebrate the unsung heroes of sports, the moms. We will speak to moms of the basketball players that you all love and dive deep into what it really takes to raise pro basketball players while equipping moms with the tools, insights, and support they need for the journey.
Today we have a very special guest, Ronnie Toppin, mother of Obi Toppin of the Indiana Pacers and Jacob Toppin with the Knicks on a two-way contract with the Westchester Knicks. Welcome, Ronnie. So happy to have you.
We're so blessed to have one of our sisters with us today, Danielle.
one of our favorites in the Northeast region.
Right. Yep. So this is going to be so much fun. Right?
I'm excited.
So, Ronnie, we want to know how it all started, because it's not many families who actually have two ball players, professional ball players. So before we start with that, we want to go all the way to the beginning, because we want to know, how did you as a mom raise two professional athletes and get them where they are today?
Yes.
Well, Obi and Jacob's dad, Obadiah Sr., played basketball in the New York City circuit. In all the street ball tournaments. He went overseas and played professionally overseas. So the boys were kind of raised around basketball. They were very competitive with each other, so they were always going at it and playing against each other with their cousins. Growing up, they were always playing. High school, they played basketball. I was hoping for a free college experience. That's all I was really hoping for when they were in high school. Neither one of them, both of them, had zero offers out of high school and did a year in prep school that helped them grow mentally, physically, to both earn a Division I basketball scholarship. Obi went to the University of Dayton. Jacob went to Rhode Island. Jacob stayed there for 1 year and transferred to Kentucky. Obi stayed at Dayton for 3 years. He was redshirted his first year, played his second and third, won Player of the Year his second year playing in college, and left during the pandemic to enter the draft. The pandemic was a lot. Going through the draft during the pandemic was a lot. But from there, Obi was a lottery pick, signed to the New York Knicks. Jacob did his 3 years at Kentucky and went undrafted and signed a two-way contract with the New York Knicks.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, I know you give the dad a lot of credit for, you know, introducing the game of basketball to them and being a great role model of how to be a professional athlete. But tell us about you. Did you ever pick up a basketball, a volleyball? I mean, Mom, we have to have some sort of influence in that athletic ability.
Well, I like to say they got their academics first.
Oh, well, okay.
And their
athlete is important.
Yep. Physical talent from their dad.
Very nice.
Once I turned 16, I wanted to make money. I started working.
Now, did you ever play any sport?
Even in middle school.
Yeah.
But what doesn't really play? Volleyball. Basketball, okay. Once I turned 16, I wanted to work. I needed to earn money.
Now, the first time I met you, well, didn't meet you, but I knew of you, was when I was head coach at University of Rhode Island in the A-10. And Jacob was at URI, and Obi was at Dayton. And they were playing against each other at URI. So I look over, the place is packed, and there's a mom with a shirt on, half Rhode Island and half Dayton. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen. And she was just there cheering her two boys on while they're competing against each other. And it was just great to see. So I know you've been doing that for their entire lives.
Since not.
Cheering them on and being their backbone. And that's what we're here to talk about. So we have
to. Yeah, that was that year that Jacob was at URI was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They were both in the same conference. So all of their games, you know, they played the same teams. It was very competitive. And that was the year Obi left college. So then Jacob going to Kentucky was the best decision for him. And it worked out great. But that one year that they played against each other was a lot of fun.
Do you still have that jersey?
Yes, of course.
Gotta frame it.
I'm working on my New York, Indiana one.
That's right.
So I love that. I actually love the fact that you had kids at the same time that were playing. Like, how do you choose? If there's game night for both, how do you choose? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It's tough. I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
Like now, I was in Indiana, Thanksgiving break. I came home. Now I'm going to be with Jacob for a couple of weeks. December 30th, New York plays Indiana.
Oh.
And then in February, Indiana comes here for two games, like the first week of February.
That's all about basketball, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So, in the world of basketball, when your child is noticed and you're declaring for draft, hiring an agent is really important.
Yes.
Speak to us about the importance. The things that you thought that was necessary, like what did you expect from your agents? Like what are the things that you said, you know what, I need to find somebody to represent both of my children. I know it's different times, but right. I'm saying both of my kids. Right. But what are the things that you said, this is an absolute must for our family? Because you, like you said, I
had no idea.
Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
Through the people, through networking, I was introduced to, I'd say, about two or three different agencies, and we had meetings set up. CAA was the first one we met with, and it was the pandemic, so everything was through video chat.
Right.
But right away, we connected. I felt the relationship. I felt the connection we made with the people on our team from CAA. And right then and there, Obi and me, my husband, we just knew that was the right fit.
Yeah. Now, how important is it for you as a mom to stay relevant in that process and in so many things that your son has to experience on a daily basis? Because I've walked around the garden with you, and you are queen bee
right?
of Madison Square Garden. If you don't know Ronnie Toppin, you don't know nobody.
She had keys.
First of all, there are about 100 ushers, and every single one of them knows her, okay? But that's, I think, is very important for moms to really take responsibility for their son's experience and stay relevant in that moment with them in this journey. So how has it been for you to make sure that they understand that both your boys have a very strong mom who's going to make sure you do right by them?
I was just always there. Everybody that knows them knows me.
Right.
I was there. I'm a teacher. So from 8 to 3, I'm working. But that doesn't take anything away from their career.
Right. Yeah.
So I was always able to be there. I used to drive to URI during the week.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a game and be home and go to work the next day.
Right.
Dayton was a little harder. I'd have to jump on a plane, but I did that every chance I could.
Mm-hmm.
When Jacob went to Kentucky, I did the same thing. I was on the plane. Everybody sees my face.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I talk to the boys every single day. Our relationship's very tight. And everybody that knows them knows me.
Wonderful. That's very important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's important because as families, we need to stick by our boys and the people, the team that we invite in our kids' lives, mm-hmm. they need to understand that it's right. a package. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's sure. Yes, my son is your client, but we all are there with you.
Right. right.
And we're with them. And
right.
So
Obi and Jacob's agents are my agents.
Yeah. Right? right?
Yeah.
Love it.
They know.
That's a great way to put it. But it's true because we need to find a team that works with the family, that they accept the family. Because
right.
sometimes families are just, it's just like, no, it's about your son. It's not about
but
you.
But the connections you make with people are so important. Yeah.
100%. And I find that a good agency would accept the entire family.
Right.
You know what I mean? They would be like, listen, we understand, but anything we can do for you,
mm-hmm.
that's important.
Yes.
It's not just, we'll see you game day if you see them game day. So, so I want to know about draft. Tell us about draft night, because I'm sure it was
two
completely different. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
You have two different experiences. So we want to know about both.
The pandemic draft was tough.
Yeah.
We couldn't go anywhere. It was all virtual. So we just invited immediate family to share the experience. We couldn't have a party. And we got a room and we just had a nice meal, had a room for the family, just sat there. And Obie's agents kind of directed us as to what's going on. We didn't know. We were just sitting there watching a screen. There was media everywhere. And we were all a nervous wreck, had no idea. And thank God he went so fast.
Waited second round of
oh, my goodness.
Like this by the end of the night.
Well, for Jacob, Jacob had a completely different experience. So Obie went number 8 to the New York Knicks. And we were about 4 or 5 blocks away. We looked out the window and we saw his picture on the screen. So we had to all go downstairs, got in the cars, drove there, and took pictures in front of Madison Square Garden. Yeah, it was really nice.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
Jacob's experience a lot different. He went undrafted. Jacob had to work really hard. He did like maybe 20, 25 workouts for teams. Mm-hmm. These workouts that weren't happening during the pandemic. So right. Obie didn't have to do these.
Gotcha.
So it was a lot different. He was player of the year.
Right.
He became a lottery pick just because of what they knew from college. Jacob had to work really hard in the off season. Once college was over, he started training and he worked out for a bunch of teams. He got a little injury, so he couldn't go to the combine, which hurt him a little bit. You know, he didn't get to compete. And he ended up going undrafted. Maybe the Knicks were following him a little more in college because his brother was on their team. I'm not sure. But they picked him up on a two-way. So he worked out in the Knicks facility most of the summer. He came out to L.A. Obie was training in L.A. all summer. So he came out there for a couple weeks. And
you were there
because I was there. So, it was a busy summer for him.
Yeah, I can.
He worked really hard, and he had to work his way. Like the beginning of the season, you don't have a two-way; it's not guaranteed.
Yeah,
you have to earn it.
Right.
And there were about 7 guys fighting for the 3 two-way spots, and he earned it.
Excellent.
Yeah. I love when you're saying the experiences were different, completely different, both boys. Mm-hmm. Our experience with Jacob and Kim are the same because Kim went undrafted. Mm-hmm. So like you're saying, you're waiting 48, you're like this. Me too. You know what I mean? In the end, I'm like, they didn't call his name.
Right.
But there is a point where you just have to pick them up.
Right. You know what I mean? It's hard. Like,
how did you keep Jacob grounded in... You know what I mean? And accept the fact that this is a story for now. Right. You're not picked up tonight. It doesn't mean that your dream's not going to come true because both of our kids,
right,
their dreams were met, right? So they were answered. But how did you pick him up from that? Because I'm imagining he didn't expect that, or imagining he wasn't happy that he went undrafted.
Right. But he understood that he wasn't able to do everything in the draft process to show them
needed to be done.
What he could do.
Yeah.
So he knew he believes in himself. Mm-hmm. I believe in him just as much.
That's awesome.
So he said, I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm going to earn a contract. And he was dead set on working hard every day. He's in the gym twice a day. If it's not a game day, he's in the gym working on his shot, working on his moves, everything. And he knows he needs to be healthy. So he eats well. He does everything he needs to do. It's just a matter of time.
And he's only about 5 minutes away from home. So he gets to come home now.
Yes.
To a home-cooked meal.
Yeah.
And be with his mom.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was something I was saying, for a lot of moms, we're not in the same city where our sons play, so we don't get to experience everything they go through on a daily basis at this level. Like, my son's in L.A., so I see him, you know, once a month, if that. Mm-hmm. And I kind of envy moms who are in the city where their sons play, because they get to be so impactful in the daily lives of their sons, get to watch them play and really be there, be present for them, you know? So I think it's amazing for you to have two sons that played for the same team in the same city where you live, where you work, where they grew up. You know, that's a blessing, you know?
Right, it's very comfortable.
Very much so.
To get situated in your career where you're comfortable.
For sure. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. See, for me and my son, it was different because it was a different country, right?
Right.
So I couldn't always go to every game. You know what I mean? For him, a home game or away game, they were all away from me. That's right. I couldn't afford to travel back and forth all the time.
International.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it was really tough. And then when he went to Turkey and then went to Greece, that was a whole other animal. Mm-hmm. Now it was FaceTime, you know, I mean, a lot. We would live through pictures. We would, Christmas time, he would be like, Mom, send me a picture. And I'm like, yeah, I just want to see.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And then I would feel bad because the whole family would call, hi, how are you? Hi, it's your Christmas. And then hang up. Yeah. And I would think, oh, he's by himself.
Right.
So then I would wonder, do I do the calls? You know what I mean? So like Daniel was saying, you know, I envy moms that are like, they're able to still be close to their, you know what I mean? So their kids at this point, at a certain age. So I don't know. That's just,
I love it.
Living vicariously through you.
Oh, it's tough.
And you're still working full time.
Yes.
So you, and you're a grandma.
Yes.
Congratulations. Your grandkids are adorable.
Thank you.
How has that been, you know, with working full-time, although you work 9 to 3, it's a great hours, but working full-time, being there full-time for your kids, your son, and being the great grandmother that you are, how do you manage all of that with your time?
With a lot of coffee. Mm-hmm. Not too much sleep. A lot of traveling. I make myself a calendar 1 month in advance.
Very nice.
Have all the games written down. See when I could get out to Indy to see more than one game, you know, try to schedule it so that I could get to games as much as I can. Drove down to Philly for Obi's game. Jacob plays 5 minutes from my house, so that's good. He gets called to Madison Square Garden occasionally when he's free, and I go support at those games too. I just do the best I can.
How are you enjoying the journey?
I love it. I wouldn't change anything.
Wonderful.
I might put a couple of hours on the day so we get some enough sleep.
Right.
But that's about it.
That's awesome.
27-hour days. Okay.
That would be nice.
So we were just talking about Indy. So Jacob just recently got traded I'm sorry. That's right. Obi just got.
I didn't know how to.
You can start. I know. I saw the face. I'm like.
You can start.
Yeah. We can. So Obi just got traded recently to the Pacers. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about that. Like, did you know that trade was coming? Did you? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you sense that trade, or was it a surprise? And how did you guys handle that as a family?
Well, it's just such a blessing for him to be a professional basketball player, to work a job of something that you dreamed for all your life is such a blessing.
Yep.
So him going to Indiana is just a new experience. He had a great time here in New York. Yeah. We love the Knicks. We love the Knicks family. And I'm happy I could still be a part of it. Mm-hmm. But now our family's growing, and we are in Indiana with the Pacers. It's different. It's a new environment for him. I'm glad he's getting a new experience. He seems to like it there. Not so much home for me, but
yeah,
I'm a New Yorker.
So. Born and bred.
Yes. So I definitely love it here, but I love going there to visit. I love going to games out there. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And he seems to be having a good time out there.
New chapter, right?
Mm-hmm.
New chapter. I agree. Like, my son got traded too, and I was like, this is just a different journey. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You turned your dream into a job.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's like, who cares where you
right.
do, as long as you have the opportunity to do it. So our
it's
boys are
such
blessed.
A blessing.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And sometimes when it happens, you feel devastated. You know, sometimes you feel devastated for your son because you know this is a place that he loves, he's accustomed to, and all of a sudden that has to change. and you don't know how to react as a mom to support his feelings in that moment. So a lot of moms that are going to be watching this are going to want to know how you, Ronnie Toppin, handled it.
I was scared at first. Yeah. Oh my God, what's going to happen? Yeah. You know, but everything happened with our agents. They definitely helped us adapt and figure it out. They have other players in Indiana, so they were familiar with the environment and the housing situation. And we just made it all happen over the summer. So we kind of had the summer, you know, to plan it. It wasn't like some trades are like, you're gone the next day.
Yeah.
So at least we had time to plan it. So it was a decision whether I was going to Indy or staying here. Mm-hmm. And I chose to stay at work and just do the best I can to share my time.
Yeah.
And it's working out.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Oh, I like to hear that. So this is Jacob's first opportunity in the league. So just talk to us about that experience. And does he look to Obi for any kind of brotherly advice?
Always. They talk often. I love hearing them praise each other on the phone and saying, you did great. Oh my God, you had so many rebounds. Good job. You're working your butt off. You're doing what you need to do. But Jacob definitely calls him with questions. They just tell me not to get involved. And we got this, Mom. Just relax and enjoy the ride. Right. Just have fun. You worked, so, they tell me all the time, you worked so hard to help us get here. Mm-hmm. Just enjoy it.
That's awesome.
It really is, eh? When they recognize...
I want to be in the business, though. You do? I want to be in all the business. Yeah, always.
Yes. He used to be nosy. Yes. No, but I like that they recognize...
Yes, they do.
...are in that.
Oh,
because sometimes, definitely. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. people forget that, you know what I mean? Moms.
Yes.
Like, we...
I always say, the ones who know.
Right.
Well, yeah. So we asked you to come on our show because we love your story and wanted you to share... What is something you hope to get from this interview?
I hope to be able to share with other moms who are in similar situations, have children up and coming, and not sure where they're going to go, and know that their children have to make the decision to put in the work. Yeah. And if they put in the work, it will pay off. It will show. It might take time. Everyone's journey is different. Everyone's story is different. But it's up to them to write their story.
Yeah. And you said something earlier when we were talking that you meet a lot of parents who look at your boys and say, oh, my boys will never be that. They'll never have a shot to go to the NBA. That'll never happen for my son. What do you tell them in that moment?
I tell them that all I was hoping that my children would get out of high school basketball was a scholarship, a free education. That's all I was hoping for. And we didn't know when they graduated high school that they would play basketball for a living. I was just hoping to get them to college.
Yeah, right.
I couldn't afford it. I'm a teacher. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping they got a free education. When they didn't get the offers, we went the prep school route. And 1 month into Obi being in prep school, he called me and said, Mom, I'm going to the NBA.
Awesome.
That was it. He worked his butt off. He did what he had to do, and he made it.
Did he say what in that experience changed his mind? What happened to make him really believe that despite the lack of offers coming out of high school...
He didn't get trained physically.
Okay.
And the physical training that he was receiving when he started in prep school made him see what his body was capable of.
Got it. Makes sense.
And that's what made him lock in.
Right. So just a more structured approach to basketball allowed him to see his true potential.
Right.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of people out there that want to be in our children's shoes. If you had an opportunity to speak to an amateur player, what kind of advice would you give them to help them succeed?
You're only going to get out of it what you put into it. The harder you put, the more work you put in, the more successful you're going to be. It's practice.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
If you practice, you're going to get better. It's inevitable. Yeah. You practice shooting a basketball, you're going to be a better basketball shooter in the end.
And what advice would you give the parent?
Be patient. Yeah. Be patient, that's all. Trust the process.
Now, do you think because you're a teacher, you've applied a lot of what you do in the classroom with your students, getting them to believe in themselves, to work hard, do your homework. That's how you learn, that's how you get better, even dealing with parents. Do you think you've applied that because of your career? You've applied that to your boys and teaching them the intangibles, the life lessons in order to overcome certain adversity.
As I've become more experienced in life, I feel that me being an educator is second nature. Mm-hmm. And it comes out in everything I do. People ask me often, are you a teacher?
Yeah.
Because it's just the way I carry myself.
Right.
And it just became who I am.
So should I tell the story of us at camp in Vegas? So we had a camp for little kids in Vegas. And I called Donnie and a couple of moms to help me out run this free clinic for about, was supposed to be 60 kids. Ended up being 15. Mm-hmm. And we had way more moms than we had campers. But you could just tell that she is a teacher. You could tell I was a coach, but the teacher and her came in, sit down, shoot, pass. And I was like, are you a teacher? And she had that voice.
She
had that voice where it was just very commanding, very demanding, very like, this is what we're all going to do in order to make sure we all moving in the right direction. You know? So I definitely,
it comes out a lot.
Mm-hmm. She was so invested.
Yes.
Remember, she took her shoes off and she was on the court and she was running with everybody.
I have the tape of the dribbling too. The dribbling.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll keep that.
People will add that to the
in the archives
episode. So, you know, Ronnie, we really appreciate you sharing your journey with us. But is there something that you would just love people to know about you as a mom and then about your boys that you just think that they don't know?
It's just work. Like everyone says, I wish I was in your shoes. I wish I had your problems.
Yeah.
I feel like our mom's group is the only connection to people that I have that can understand that we do have problems too.
Right.
And people don't understand, maybe they're not financial problems.
Yes.
Maybe they're not problems where our children are not successful, but everybody's problems are different and they're valid.
Right.
And people don't think that my problems are valid because I have two professional basketball player children. Yeah. And I just wish people would just respect the fact that issues for everybody are different.
Yeah.
And they should all respect that.
Yeah. That's what I appreciate about our mom's group, because we understand each other.
Right.
We're like, we're alike. So people around us change, and they figure, like you say, because our children are professional players, now we're different. And we're like, no. It's like, you're still Daniel. You're still Ronnie. I'm still Wendy. It's like, nothing's changed. Right. I mean, I'm not the millionaire, and they treat us differently sometimes. Yes. So I appreciate you saying that, because people need to know that we're human too, and our children are human. They haven't changed. They were just successful, and they were able to take their God-given talent and turn it into a job. Right. But they're still, you know, still Terrence, is still Obi and Jacob, is still Kim. So I'm happy that you said that, because we're hoping that people will get that and just treat us as who we are.
Right.
Don't change us.
Right.
Please do not change us. So.
And the people that are closest to us know that best.
For sure.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a while for them to realize that.
Yeah.
Listen. So you talked about, you just mentioned financial problems, and your kids don't have financial problems. But earlier in this month, we talked to UBS, two financial advisors who really shared some great financial information for us as NBA moms, try to lead our sons into being more intelligent with their financial situation. You've been in the league, your sons have been in the league, your older, Obi has been in the league for a while. What financial concerns or issues or situations you as a mom think you should have known more about in order to help that situation? It could be none, you know, it could be great, but looking back on it, what information do you wish you had as a mom prior to some of the financial issues he may have experienced?
Well, we do have a financial advisor and a company, you know, that we work with, but I wish I was more aware. I wish I could have taken a finance class or something that would help me understand, because I get it. They tell me, you know, what's going on, or Obi will go up to the office and find out where his money is being invested or what he's spending his money on. But just to be aware and educated mm-hmm. on having large amounts of money and how to make it work for you how to use it like you have the foundation. Mm-hmm. And it's still new, but I learned so much from you mm-hmm. when you explained to me how you started it, and it's something I'd like to get into.
Right.
Both of my kids are in the NBA now. I would like to, you know, start a foundation with them.
Right.
But I want to do it with them.
Right.
So it has to be a group effort. And I know working full time, I'm going to have to take time to set it up. I don't, like, it's not something I could do as a part-time job.
Right.
So I want to do it right.
Great. And then between now and then, you think moms should be educating themselves on what their sons should be investing in, or when they talk about trust or foundations or whatever, you would highly recommend that moms take an opportunity to learn that type of stuff in order to...
Like taking a finance class.
Yeah.
Would just help understand a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't even know from there where you would go
right.
because I don't know enough to know how to branch out and learn more.
Well, that's what we're hoping our platform does for moms who really don't know where to turn to, and having experts on our podcast that could teach moms about financial literacy so they could educate their sons a little bit more. They could understand the language when they do go into the financial advisor's office. You know, all of that stuff helps. You know, so
that's what
we're hoping to do with our platform.
Yeah, 100%.
Because our biggest thing is not letting people take advantage
of
our children and their money.
You don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
like Danny is saying, our goal is to arm everybody with that right information by bringing the resources to you. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And doesn't understand this is what's missing or something that you can change or do differently in your life
mm-hmm.
or in your kid's career. Because sometimes the window of opportunity is very small.
Right.
And sometimes we make the biggest mistakes, especially financially. Right.
Right.
And this is the time to be taught.
Right, and they need to understand because, like you said, the time can be short.
Yes.
They could be a millionaire for 5 years, and then it's over. That's it.
Yeah.
So they have to make that last another 40, 50 years sometimes.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think a big mistake that a lot of families do, and this is just my opinion from my speaking to families, I think they put it on the organization to teach. That's not their job.
No.
That's not what they're there for.
They have a business they're running.
Exactly.
And finance is not it.
It really isn't, right? And sometimes we're like, you know, our kids should know how. It's like, no. That's our job as parents.
Right.
To make sure that, you know what I mean? Because it's not new. Once your kids are playing NCAA and you see that something's coming, that's our opportunity now to say, oh, hold on a second.
Right.
I see this is, wait, hold on. This is a direction.
We might be going in.
That's right. Maybe I should find out who to speak to about finances. Maybe I should find out, you know what I mean? Because sometimes you get that first paycheck and you want to buy that house and you want to buy the car and you just
all the jewelry.
Oh, hello. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden you have 9 girlfriends and, you know, you got new besties. So
and my children experience what it is to be broke. Because they experience that they're a little hesitant to spending big.
Yeah.
Big money.
Life lessons.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good to keep our kids frugal.
Yep.
Well, Ronnie, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. Thank you for coming on Courtside Moms Media.
Thank you for
hanging
me.
Out with us. That's right. We hope we get to do this again in the future.
For sure.
You know, off or on camera. either way,
either well, definitely way. Off camera.
Next time you come by, we'll have some wine.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So join us next time for another episode of A Moment for Moms. And please don't forget to like and share our episodes and share with anyone you know who's raising professional athletes or any fans who would love to get more insight on how powerful these moms are raising such great athletes and such great people.